ghosts?
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis.
Smoke.
I make fart noises with my mouth.
Los and Smoke.
Before we begin the podcast, I just want it to be known that Los has been playing with his microphone for the past 7 minutes.
That's a record, by the way.
It usually only takes him about 30 seconds to play with his microphone.
See, it's better than sex because you don't have to do the foreplay.
No.
No foreplay.
No foreplay on that thing.
You're in and out and you're done.
Let me explain after I say this here. I am the Reverend Smoke and Steve. He is Los. Welcome to Los and Smoke 2007.
Happy New Year.
Happy joy, joy, everybody. And for Christmas, Los got a microphone.
I did.
And it's taken us God knows how long to get this thing to work.
And not perfect either.
No, but it's better now than it was before. You should have seen us. We actually did a take one of this podcast and had to stop because the microphone was giving us so much trouble.
It was awful.
It was like Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock with all the noise
there.
Like that.
Don't ever do that again.
Oh, I'll do that again if I want to, mister.
Sorry.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I feel so much tougher now.
After
that electric cig, I feel like I can just kick ass.
You did kick ass. We went, actually, funny story here. We went to see Electric Six.
Yes, that band you just heard.
Yeah.
The official band of the Los and Smoke podcast.
And we saw them for the second time this year. And I before we get in your fight.
Right.
Not your fight, but before we get in your future career, possibly.
Yes.
I want your... You saw them before you knew them, and then you saw them again after
yes.
you got to enjoy them.
It's a different, it's a much different experience seeing Electric Six once you know what they're going to play.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They're very funny.
Oh, they're incredible.
Dick Valentine is just hysterical.
He is definitely the man. But I think, just to kind of give a little bit of the story here, we were going to talk about this. Maybe you read about it on Los's blog, but we're going to give you a little bit more now. Electric Six, we saw them back in the summer. I think it was maybe June or July. And
I want to thank Steve because I bought two tickets, and Steve didn't even know about this band. And
I knew a little bit. You had played them already, yeah. So I knew something.
Well, you knew a little bit, but you certainly not enough to warrant going out to see them.
Right, but I just wanted to experience a good show. So we went out there, and it was hot as balls in that place.
Oh, my God.
The Khyber is maybe a two-room bar, a little dinky place, and they have musical acts in there. And you are crammed into this one room that may be the size
a little bigger than this basement.
Maybe,
Not much bigger. Maybe the stage.
It's probably about the size of a two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
With the walls knocked out.
Yeah.
It's what you get.
It's hot.
And everyone's crammed in there together, and this is the middle of June and July, and the air conditioning, not great.
I didn't even know they had air conditioning.
Exactly. So we're all just sweating our ever-loving asses off in there.
Drinking some Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, you have to there.
At a place like that, yeah.
It's really like it's a college joint. I mean, we're the oldest. I don't think we were the oldest guys there, but we were definitely in the upper bracket. There are maybe 10 or 12 people there in our age range.
Probably, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And we
sat in the back.
We stayed in the back the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't really get up into the crowd much. And we actually wound up leaving early just because we couldn't take it.
It was so... I remember looking over at you and going, we just have to go.
Yeah, we're too old for this crap, you know? But it was a great show, and we always said if they came back, we were going to see them again. We were going to try to stick it out till the end of time.
And what better time than the winter time?
Yes. Oh, perfect, because everything was...
It got hot in there.
A little bit, but we...
Not bad.
At least we were up front. We were... Yeah, that's part of the other story.
Yeah.
So this time around, this was right before Christmas.
December 29th, I believe.
Was it after? Yeah, it was after Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. December 29th. It was a Friday night, and we decided to go in, just Los and I. We had dinner with the ladies beforehand, but thankfully they did not show up. I don't say that because we didn't want them there. I say that because I don't think they would have been able to handle it.
Oh, it was just...
it's not a comfortable place.
And just to give you a little... I couldn't believe that with the songs that Electric Matrix 6 plays, that what happened happened.
Okay. Now, the first time around, we didn't really notice any, because, well, we were in the back.
Shenanigans.
Yes, shenanigans, tomfoolery up front. We were in the back, I mean, but it's not that far back. I mean, it's like you're just seeing them across a crowded room. You can see everything. It's that intimate of a place. It didn't look like anything really overly
crazy,
violent was going on up front.
No, not at all.
So, second time around.
I think it was too hot.
Yeah. No, you may have a point there.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, second time around, I get the bright idea to bring a camera this time. I want to get some good shots of the band. I thought it would be kind of cool, you know, see if we can grab a few shots there.
Sure.
And so I say to Carl, we're there beforehand, checking out some of the opening acts, and I say to Los, I say, why don't we try to get up front this time? Let's get a really good view. And he says,
famous last
words. He says, okay. He's fine with it. It's no big deal. And we saw the second act, a band by the name of Black Landlord that really impressed me.
They were cool. It's a kind of like a funk band, and it was kind of fitting because of the recent death of James Brown.
Oh, the Godfather. He dedicated the show to James Brown. Yeah. It was a beautiful thing, the Godfather.
He did not look like James Brown.
No, he did not. He,
outside of being the skin color. That was about it.
He was about 50 pounds heavier.
And he showed every bit of it.
Yeah, he liked to perform shirtless with a vest on. Mm. Yeah. At that point, I regretted being up front. I really, really regretted.
Well, I didn't, because I got a free T-shirt out of the
deal. They threw T-shirts to the crowd, and Los got one.
I wasn't even looking, and I got hit in the head with a T-shirt.
It was great.
So it was kind of cool. it was a cool little... it was funny, because everyone else was white in the band.
Oh, yeah.
So he was calling them his tenants.
Yeah, that's good.
Really
he
funny.
Was the black landlord. They were his tenants, and their favorite saying is, rent is doing the first, not the fifth, motherfucker.
Bitches.
Bitches. Yeah.
That's what it says on the shirt.
Oh, bitches, okay. Yeah. But he might have used some other terms there.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we're watching that, and no shenanigans are going on during that. So we think we're okay. There's no reason to be afraid to be up front. So in between the two acts, Los goes to get some beer, and I save our spots. And when he comes back, it was a short time before Electric Six took the stage. We started noticing that there was a group to the right of us, and there was...
I was actually in the center of that group for a while.
He was trying to get up toward me, but it was so crowded that he couldn't find his way through just yet, so he kind of just stood there. And this group was starting to get a little bit randy.
Yeah.
A little bit just...
rowdy.
Violent. They were
starting to push around before E6 was even
there. They were just going crazy. They were just, you know, walking around, banging into people, not giving a damn, drunk off their asses. That should not even to be said.
They may have been more than just drunk.
I'm surprised. I'd be surprised that they remembered the show. Really.
Which I never understood. I mean, I don't mind having a few drinks going to a rock show, but
sure.
If I'm spending money for it, and I really like the band,
I want to remember it.
I want to remember it, too. Yeah.
But these guys were just out to cause trouble. But and you know what? Here's the thing. I don't have a problem with that at a rock show. You want to go, I mean, like...
Let loose a little bit? That's fun.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not a prude about that sort of thing, but I mean... okay.
Let me just tell you this, Steve. I am happy that I picked the left side of you to stand.
Yeah. Okay. Imagine this. We're maybe about three, four people. I don't call it rows because there were no rows, but there were about three people deep in front of the stage. Stage left in our front view there. And Los was on my left toward the wall. He eventually got up near me. He was over toward the wall. I was more situated left center. And the group of shenanigans was situated to the immediate right of me.
Right in the center of the stage.
Yeah, right middle stage. Now, once the band gets up there and they start doing their thing, that's when I noticed what these guys were looking to do. They started a mosh pit.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
and a pretty big one.
About 20 or 30 people worth.
Yes.
And maybe closer to 20, I'm guesstimating. But what happened was, this is such a small place that when they move... everyone moved.
Oh, yeah.
The whole front area of the stage, the crowd moved, and you moved with the crowd.
It was like you were in a big ocean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
it was awful.
Again, no problem with starting a mosh pit at a show. You know, if you're that stupid to go dive off a stage, go nuts in my book. But I usually think that something like that's going to happen at a Korn concert.
Yeah, like a punk show. I don't think that E6 plays that kind of music.
Well,
really.
they've always been known as a mixture of the dance,
disco,
techno,
heavy metal,
maybe some influence of metal, rock and roll, punk. They've got every single influence in there, and they've got some songs, mind you, that go to the rock realm that I could see somebody diving off a stage to. But I just didn't expect it to happen, or either that, or maybe I was a freaking moron. I mean, I haven't ruled out freaking moron in this.
Well, you've been a freaking moron in the
past. Of course, and so. I'll probably be one again sometime. But now I realize, okay, we're in for a ride here.
I just think that this band should not be playing at the Khyber anymore. I think it should be like at the TLA.
Yeah, they need.
Like
they definitely need a bigger venue because they have.
Because they were turning people away at the door.
They were. I mean, this band has. They're getting a little bit of knowledge. Yeah. In the U.S. and across the...
They're actually pretty big in Europe.
They are.
Yeah.
And so these guys should be playing a little bit bigger venues, but not like the Spectrum or anything.
No, TLA, you can get 1,000, 2,000 people in there. I think that would be fine.
That'd be perfect. And, you know, then go dive off the freaking stage all you want there.
Plus at the TLA, there's a slope.
Yeah.
So you can stand back and see everything.
Exactly. So here's... Now I realize, oh, shit... We're in trouble. These guys are going to be crazy the whole time.
I made a deliberate attempt to stand behind you the entire time.
Well, that's the thing. There is a group of people behind me. Now, I was being a buffer to some extent because I was the one closer to it, so I kind of had to be a buffer between the people behind me and Los, who is next to me, and I realized that these people were using my ass.
Now, I'm telling you, now, I felt like Jeff Garcia. I had that much protection.
Now, granted, if you're in a mosh pit, you probably want to see a fat guy in front of you if you don't want to get involved because that guy will take all of the punishment.
I said it. I think that you missed your calling, Steve.
One thing I noticed is that occasionally when I wasn't really struggling with him, I got pushed back a number of times, too. I mean, 20
sure.
people are around. You're moving one way. You got to move with them. One thing I noticed is that there was one particular guy behind me, a little mousy guy.
I saw him.
And every
did he
time
have, like, the,
that
the salt and pepper hair?
He might have, yeah. He was in his 20s or something. But he looked like he just had the fear of God in his eyes.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Yeah, he's like...
Like, when I came back, I was coming back literally on top of him. Now, if I'm a little mousy guy and I see me diving backward toward me, I'm scared shitless, too. I'm first one to admit it, okay? I'm over 300 pounds here, guys.
Yeah.
If I'm going to fall on you...
You're going to feel it.
You're going to feel it,
you're
yes.
You're definitely going to feel
but
it.
But now I'm thinking, oh, this poor bastard just came here to see a show, and now he's scared as a... And now I'm starting to get a little bit pissed.
Oh, I saw the look in your eye. You looked over at me a couple times, and I said to myself, oh, boy, here we go. Here we go.
I am not a violent person by nature, ladies
no.
and gentlemen.
It takes a lot to get Steve pissed off. Grade school and high school can verify that.
I wanted to drop a motherfucker. I wanted to take one. Now, these guys who got drunk, the shenanigans guys, they were little mousy guys, too. I mean, one of them was
like 150 pounds.
It's soaking
pounds.
Wet,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, and like 5'2".
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking to myself, and they're drunk beyond belief and high beyond belief. There was definitely some weed there.
There had been.
There was weed yeah. there. I saw it being passed around.
We saw that at the with Black Landlord.
Yeah, they were giving it to the band. I mean, come on.
This is a venue you need to go to.
Oh, yeah. You got to
experience it. Absolutely.
I think we're too old for this place, but it's
Philly,
worth it.
Yeah. Come to Philly and go to the Khyber.
So, listen, I'm looking, and what they're doing is that they're just throwing themselves around with no regard to anyone else whatsoever. They don't care who they bang into. So I figure, okay, if that's the way you want to play it, I'm going to make you feel it.
You know what? You're going to get your money's worth, motherfucker.
Yeah. And when they came into me, I made sure to throw shoulders.
Oh, my God.
Each time.
You actually wound up a couple times.
Toward the end.
Yes.
The last song is when I started winding up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at this point, I'm just trying to, like, push people back and just trying to throw these guys back into the middle away from us. And then after a while, I started grabbing them. And at least a couple of times, especially during the last song when I couldn't take it anymore, they wound up on the ground.
No, well, the funny thing is, I looked at you and you looked like you had some deranged joy in your on your face. And you're like, oh, I can't wait to kill these people.
I will admit it. I loved every damn minute of it.
It was like President Bush was in the mosh pit, and you were throwing him on the
ground. I was like, you motherfucker, you're going down. You know? Oh, man.
You're going down like Paris Hilton.
Oh, hey, oh. Sorry. We will never bring up Paris Hilton again. We promise.
I didn't promise that.
So anyway, yes, I was getting some deranged joy, some sheer joy by just grabbing one of these little mousy little shits and just tossing them. And they went down.
Oh, they went down and they got right back up and started doing it again.
They didn't give a shit.
No.
That was great. It's like I had carte blanche to just wail on these guys, to just pound them.
What a stress relief, by the way. Oh, man.
I left there feeling fantastic. I felt like I was, you know, Thor, defender of the universe here. You know, and I remember after...
Thor?
I don't know. I just made that.
Wow.
I made that shit up.
You were throwing lightning bolts
at
people.
He was the war god or something. But after the show, I remember... And by the way, this took a toll on me.
You called me the next day. Yeah.
My legs were killing me during the show because I was using them to brace myself and push back, and after a while, they just started barking.
See, you just need to get into some kind of shape.
Well, that too.
You should have done that in Innsbruck. You should have been an offensive lineman. You would have been awesome.
I was too busy announcing the games rather than playing in them.
Damn.
I don't know what I was thinking.
I'm telling you, you could have done this.
But anyway, so at the end of the show, it's all over, and I'm beyond relieved. But I look at everyone behind me, and I just had to say this, and I just looked at everyone and said, you guys should be thankful I took all that for you. And guess what? They were.
Oh, they totally were.
They just looked at me and went, no, really, thanks.
There was a girl there that was holding on to your arm.
Yeah, there was a, and might I say, pretty cute one.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And a brunette, and she was very nice, and all of a sudden, she got herself, a couple of women occasionally got in the middle of the mosh pit, I guess.
Accidentally, I think.
I don't know if it was accidentally or they went
through. Well, one was definitely accidental.
Well, I think in this case, she got in the middle, not realizing what she was getting into.
Just how rough it was.
And then the minute she realized what she was into, it was a big, oh shit moment. Like,
oh,
wait a minute.
Shit.
So here is big fat guy right next to her. This is an anchor for her. All of a sudden, this woman grabs my right arm, buries her nose in my shoulder, and just holds on for dear life.
I'll tell you what, I have a perfect comparison to this.
Yes.
You were like a jetty in the ocean. You were like a jetty, I'm telling you.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say like a Jedi. No, that would be different.
Know about
I'm
that.
A jetty.
Yeah,
I'm
jetty.
A bunch of freaking rocks. Is that?
Well, you keep the waves away from everyone else.
Exactly. That's
so
what I was.
Just call me Jetty. Jetty Steve. The Reverend Jetty.
The Reverend Jetty. But and this woman just hung on to me for about a minute, and I was not going to say no to her. I mean,
you're a guy.
I felt that too. But I actually felt bad for her. It's like I felt like I wanted to just defend her for a minute, and it worked.
Prince Charming.
And she got out of the way, and I never saw her again. So.
No. But at least you had that moment.
Yeah, well,
it was a moment.
But here's the thing. I had no choice in that moment. It wasn't like I volunteered. So yeah, there's no way of getting in trouble.
Sometimes those are the best moments.
See, I can't get in trouble for this because just happened. All of a sudden, I felt my right arm grabbed and she's hanging on.
You protected a bunch of good citizens is what you did.
And they
you did a good job. You did a great job. That's why I said, you know what? You should have done this professionally.
Why weren't you even trying to throw anyone, by the way?
Because I was enjoying just watching you go apeshit. You were apeshit, Steve.
I was apeshit.
You went totally apeshit. It was hysterical.
And I'm 35 years old, and I'm throwing around these college little mousy motherfuckers.
And
it was fun.
Liking it.
At the same time, I don't know if I'll ever do that again.
Well, I figure if E6 comes back to the Kyber again, we're going to be right in the back.
Yeah.
We're going to be in the very back again. Where we belong.
That's where
the chaperones belong.
Yeah, that's
right?
Where the older people belong with their... Pabst Blue Ribbons.
Oh, good stuff. I had a Miller High Life, and I was like, wonderful.
This is fantastic, yes. And,
just to give you another idea on just how high class the Kyber is.
Yes.
When I went to the bathroom, I don't know if you didn't get a chance
I've
to
seen
go.
The bathroom. Yeah. I know what you're talking
so
about.
So there's a stall right by the door.
Yeah.
And there's not even a stall there. It's just a urinal.
It's just, yeah, a little piss pot.
Right. And I'm just sitting there peeing, and the door's open, and then girls are sitting there, and I'm just like waving at them. Hey, how you doing? You like what you see?
Now, wait, does the door swings in to the bathroom?
So
it would be perfect because the way it is, you
and
are pissing.
You got a view of the bar.
You're pissing you right next to the opening.
Right.
Like imagine against the wall, piss pot, door right to the right of it.
Yes.
No partition and no divider.
And it opens up right to the bar.
And it opens up. It opens inward, so it's like free show, everybody.
Hey, watch Carl pee. It's a wonderful thing.
And the woman's room is right next to the men's room, and there's usually a little bit of a line, so there's ladies standing right there.
And they have nothing better to do than watch guys take pisses.
Hey!
Drain the lizards.
You know, and they're probably judging, you know, you open up the door and they're holding up a sign like 8-2.
I was so bad they didn't even have signs.
They did not have signs.
No signs at all.
they just looked down and went, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's like George in Seinfeld. There was shrinkage!
Hey, at least you got your health.
Hey.
That's exactly what you don't want to hear when a girl sees your penis. Hey, at least you got your health. That's embarrassing.
So anyway, that is our story of the Electric Six.
And by the way, speaking of bad, this is a good transition.
Uh huh.
Speaking of bad.
Uh huh. You're going to the second half of our podcast. Go for it.
Steve, you've seen a lot of movies in your day.
Oh sure.
A lot of movies that you probably saw as a kid that you haven't seen since.
Oh yeah, a number of them.
Well, recently, I got to see one of those movies that I saw as a kid.
Okay.
And it sucked.
Okay.
I thought when I went to the movies, and I was like 8 or 9 years old, going to the McDade Mall.
I think it was, what year did it come out? Do you?
It's like 82, 83.
82, 83. Okay.
Yeah. So I went to the movies with my cousins.
Okay.
We watched this movie, and we thought it was the greatest movie ever made.
Uh-huh.
I thought to myself at the time, how am I ever going to top this?
Yeah, this is the experience of your life.
The end-all, be-all of movies.
Yes.
And the movie was called They Call Me Bruce.
Now, I don't know if anyone remembers that movie, They Call Me Bruce. It was well-known.
Yeah.
It actually made a little bit of money.
So well-known that there was a sequel
to it. There was. I was thinking about that as well.
I never saw the sequel.
What was the sequel called?
They Still Call Me Bruce.
They Still Call Me Bruce. Yes, this movie made enough money
to warrant a sequel. So I saw it when I was 8 years old. Thought it was the bomb, okay? About 6 months ago.
And I saw it as well.
Yeah,
at the same theater, McDade Mall Theater. Yeah.
But the difference between
you and me is that I didn't pay.
Yeah, but at the time, I paid $2.50.
Okay, so it wasn't really that bad. I mean, I had the hookup.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of movies in that theater for free because Mom managed them all.
And I would have just about seen anyone at that time. If I got to see them for free.
Of course. I didn't take advantage of it nearly as much as I should have.
As you should have, yeah.
But I took advantage of it plenty of times. So I went and saw They Call Me Bruce. And again, I thought it was fantastic at the time as well. It's like, to a 10-year-old kid, that's high cinema.
It was
like, whoa.
And I remember like telling people in college about this movie and saying how funny it was and we need to find this movie, and we were never able to find it.
Did it have boobies in it? I don't think it did. Mom wouldn't have let me see it if it had boobies in it. So.
I think they might have had a shot where it was her back and he said something funny.
It was like a PG movie.
Yeah, it was a PG movie.
At the time, okay.
So 6 months ago, I'm in the Best Buy and I'm just going through the discount rack of movies to see what they got. And all of a sudden, it was like a sign from God. There it is. The angels singing and shooting darts at me or arrows or whatever. And they call me Bruce. And
uh-huh.
I was like, oh, my God. I couldn't get to the cash register quick enough.
How much was it?
It's like $4.99.
Even better.
It's like I hand over a five, and there I am holding my childhood movie.
And Abe Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
Gets you your childhood movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I remember going home from work, picking up my wife, and saying, I have a movie that's going to change your life. This movie will change the way you view comedies.
A little melodramatic, perhaps?
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
I'm so excited that I got this movie.
Okay.
I was thrilled. I hadn't seen it since I was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I popped the movie in. I'm waiting for a laugh. And waiting.
Wow.
And waiting. And waiting. And waiting. And waiting. And it just basically shattered my view of my childhood. I was like, I became confused.
You started questioning your manhood.
I questioned my past. I was like, what the hell was my problem back then?
Oh.
I mean, I remember like explicitly from the commercials and from the movie, the one line, "I once got hit by a Toyota."
Oh, what a feeling.
And I always giggled at that.
It's the dumbest freaking line in the world.
But you know what? Every one of the other lines in that movie are that dumb or worse.
But I remember that line because I didn't really know of that line when I saw the movie. And I remember when they popped that line out in the movie, everyone laughed.
Oh, yeah.
When they saw it.
Laughed hard.
When you time it right. It was good.
I guess.
I don't know.
No, it was.
But I was 10, and I was like, Toyota, what a feeling. Oh, this is genius.
I also.
There was another moment where I guess somebody had told him that the secret of life was broads or something. The meaning of life was broads. And he winds up getting trapped at some religious convention up at the front of the stage. And you know, it's hard to explain. And the preacher says, no, the meaning of life is, and he interrupts him and goes, broads! The meaning of life is broads! And that's supposed to be a funny line. Like, he's interrupting the preacher. And
nothing about that movie is funny anymore.
That was one, but that was the big recall joke. The joke where it was set up in the beginning, right, and then they pull it back. The recall joke is supposed to be brilliant.
But then the thing is, I guess if you time that properly,
yeah,
it's funny. And as kids, we thought it was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
If you go back and watch that movie, the timing is awful in that movie.
Really?
The comedic timing was awful. I can't even compare it to anything.
I almost want to watch this again just to see what the hell I was thinking.
Oh, I'm still in a fog.
Oh, man.
So I was going to work the other day talking to my friend Brandon,
uh-huh,
who had also seen the movie as a child and also saw it recently, and we both had the same experience.
Okay.
And we were talking about it. We talked about it for 45 minutes on how awful it was. Mm-hmm. Just to give you an idea how terrible that movie is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just came up with the idea, you know what? We'll call this Getting Bruced. Anytime you see a movie, you've seen a movie as a child, and you go back to watch it a second time, years later, and it sucks.
Yeah.
You're getting Bruced.
You're getting Bruced. That is...
You get a good Brucing every once in a while.
I bet you wouldn't mind a good Brucing, wouldn't you?
Oh, I got a great Brucing from They Call Me Bruce.
You got Bruced right up the old Bruce there.
My Bruce has never been so
Bruce. Hey!
So we came up with a bunch of other movies.
Okay, well, I'll start with yours here. What other movie did you get Bruced by?
Caveman.
I don't remember that one.
It was with Ringo Starr and Shelley Long. And,
oh, my God.
a very young Dennis Quaid.
Okay.
Like 1981.
Ooh. Okay.
And my friend Anthony had cable. He was like the first person on the street that had cable.
Uh-huh.
And it was on. It was on Prism.
Uh-huh.
And like Prism's like Showtime. But
it was the Philadelphia version of HBO. It had all the Philly sports on it. Spectrum Wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is classic.
Oh, good stuff.
And okay.
No Brucing there.
No Brucing with that. Not at all. But so Caveman. What was it about? Was it about a caveman? I don't know.
It was about cavemen.
Okay.
And they talked like cavemen through the entire movie.
Shelley Long talking like a cavewoman?
Yes.
And Ringo Starr?
Yes.
You've got a guy from the Beatles and Diane from Cheers, and they're all looking like...
And what was her name from Dukes of Hazzard?
Not Daisy Duke.
Yeah.
Catherine Bach?
Yeah, Catherine Bach was in there, too. Yeah.
Did she look hot in the outfit?
Yeah, but you know what? Shelley Long looked a little better for some reason. Well,
Shelley Long was a pretty good looking woman.
Yeah, and that one she looked a little. I mean, they both look good. And
the early Diane years of Cheers, you know that era, she looked pretty good.
Yeah,
bad.
No, not bad.
I would have liked to have seen her in a caveman outfit. Not now.
I'll tell you. I mean, you can do that for 5 minutes, and then it rapidly loses its charm. Like, okay. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, will you stop talking like that, Mike? We get the idea. You're caveman, okay? Oh, it hurts.
But you didn't go back and get it on DVD, though.
No, I had seen it on demand.
Okay.
It was there, and I said, oh, caveman. Oh, my God, I haven't seen that since I was a kid. Put it on, and I was like, that's why. That's why. And the good part about on demand is you can stop it and never go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
And you don't really pay for it, so that's kind of cool.
So, any others?
In God We Trust. Do you remember that one?
No, not even a little bit.
Marty Feldman was in it.
Oh my! Yeah, Marty Feldman, a comic genius.
Yeah, this one. It's not good.
No.
Don't ever watch that.
Okay.
As a child, it was funny. Mischief was another one.
No, oh, you know, I remember Mischief.
Yeah,
yeah. It was, but it had
the acting is.
It is. The timing is a little bit off on that movie, but it had Kelly Preston.
Naked.
And naked. That's the only reason. And this was Kelly Preston in her in her rookie year. Yeah. You know?
With a full beaver shot.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that. Is the only redeeming quality of that entire movie.
Yeah, I was thinking of that movie recently, just off the top of my head.
You were thinking of Kelly Preston.
I certainly was. But yeah, I do remember that the lines seemed to be like they were just kind of
forced.
They were not rapid fire. Yeah, they were not forced. Natural. It was like there would be like a second pause in between each line.
Oh, the acting was awful. They certainly didn't. I mean, Kelly Preston, I guess, was pretty good. I can't remember.
Yeah,
just not a good movie. Not at all.
We can play, but we can't go all the way.
And they did.
He talked her into it. He's like, I can stick it in for just a little bit, then pull out before anything happens.
You know? Right. Right. Sure you can.
Why I remember these lines, don't ask me.
Because you're a perv.
Yeah.
You are a pervert.
All right.
So you got one.
I have one. And this was the... I saw this movie 7 times as a kid.
I have a feeling I know why.
You know why?
Well, I'm sure there's...
Do you know what movie it is? Did I ever talk to you about my...
It wasn't Beastmaster, was it?
But it was related to Beastmaster because it had the same star, the female lead.
Oh,
Tanya Roberts.
Tanya Roberts, that's
the
it.
The movie was Sheena, Queen of the Jungle.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Oh. Is that now...
Now you gave yourself a bruising effort. Oh.
Yeah, I bruised a lot after that one. Ooh.
We had a double meaning for bruising.
Yeah, there could be many meanings for bruising right here. So the quick story was that Rich Brown, I mentioned the last name, but screw it.
Yeah. How many Rich Browns are there in the world?
At least 37.
I would say higher than that.
But our mutual friend Rich and I, we were hanging out a lot, and he had the cable, and we saw the Beastmaster, and we were about 12.
Photo and photo.
Yes, 12, 13 at the time. Just starting to figure out that them women's are starting to look pretty good to us, you know? Is that,
and things happen when you see those women.
Well, sure. You're like, hey.
I'm going to sit down for a while.
Yeah,
I can't really stand up right now.
No, I cannot. So we saw Tanya Roberts' boobies in The Beastmaster.
Yes, sir.
And that started our obsession with Tanya Roberts. And then...
she's a hot girl.
Oh, she was stunning back then.
In the Bond movie? Whatever.
God, yes.
Oh, man.
So Sheena, Queen of the Jungle was right before the Bond movie.
Okay.
And she was the star of that movie. It was coming out, and we just resolved that we had to see it. Well, I had the connection at the mall, so we got in to see it. And
did you have a private booth in there? Just wondering what kind of movie theater they ran in there.
We should have.
Oh. Jeez.
No. But boy, this has just gone off a deep end here, and I don't know how to rescue it. Anyway, so we're sitting in the movie, and the first moment where she shows her boobies, and granted, she got better looking. This movie, she went blonde, she was toned, perfect, and she shows her boobies, and even a couple of times, very brief beaver.
All right, that's
like
cool.
You really had to look for it, but it was there, I believe.
And by the way,
we were looking for it.
As horny kids, you could spot a beaver from a mile away.
Even if it was the appearance. Now, granted, she was wearing like a brown
You could see beaver in the dark.
She was wearing a brown jungle suit with like little brown undies underneath, like flesh colored. So even it looked like there was occasional beaver with what she was wearing. And believe me, Rich and I would nudge each other and go, that was beaver, wasn't it? I'm like, that was it. It was right there.
Oh my God. The hormones were running through you guys like electricity.
There were 3 nude scenes in this movie.
Beautiful. I gotta go see this.
Oh, yeah. I have it now on DVD.
All right. So you can actually pause.
Yes, if I so choose.
Oh, you choose. Oh, you're choosing. You better be choosing, pal.
We walked out of this movie like we had seen God. And we just decided that we had to get back in as many times as possible.
To see this again.
To see this. And
you probably had it down to the minutes.
We were getting to the point where we were quoting the lines from the movie just because we thought it was a pretty good movie, too. It starred the great Ted Wass.
Ooh.
You remember Ted Wass.
No.
No? He played, you ever see the movie Oh God, You Devil?
Yeah.
He played Bobby Shelton, Billy Wayne, the guy who the devil tried to take his soul and God won him back.
I thought that was John Denver.
No, he was in the first one.
That's the one.
Oh God, You Devil was the third one. Ted Wass was the lead in that one. He was on like a bunch of sitcoms in a day. He was in some pretty bad movies too. Like he was one of, he's
like,
one of those guys.
He's like Ted McGinley.
He's up there, yeah. Definitely the Ted McGinley of the early, old. Wait a minute, Ted McGinley was around at the same time. So
he was Ted McGinley.
He was Ted McGinley Jr. is what he was. So.
And that's not a compliment.
But Ted Wass was the male lead, who Tanya Roberts' female lead, and it was... If I can just remember some of these lines, like she would, she was standing naked in the stream, and he was like feeling awkward. She would say, "Why don't you come in and wash? You're as dirty as a warthog." Now, now, mind you, this is a white blonde chick who was left behind to be raised by African women, and she's talking like, "Why don't you come in and wash?"
Like the Queen's English.
Like the Queen's English, yes. And when he takes off his shirt and he's a hairy guy, she goes, "Fur. You have fur." He's like, "I have what?" He's like, "The Zamburi men do not have fur on their bodies."
It's at like, some point, you should have just asked the movie theater to turn the volume down.
Yeah, exactly. But we should have asked them to fast forward. But that was during... No, she was naked during that part, so you could handle the bad lines.
I guess.
It kind of went with... It made them that much more memorable. That's why I remember it so much. So we wound up seeing this movie. I personally saw it 7 times.
In the theater.
In the theater, Mom started to get a little suspicious. She started asking me, "Why are you going to see that movie again?"
Because it's the best movie ever made, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, "Is there like nudity in it or something?" Like, no, Mom, no. There's no. That's fine,
no,
really.
No, it's as good as Rocky and Star Wars. It's absolutely perverted.
So yeah, about just for kicks, about a year ago, I went and found it online just so I could have a DVD copy of this. And really, the movie is fucking atrocious.
except for
the nude scenes.
That's beautiful.
Which are just stunning. But really, the rest of the movie is comical. I mean, in this case, it's almost so bad that it's good. I mean, this is not like boring. This is like unintentional comedy happening here, left and right. So,
not as bad as Jar Jar Binks.
No, no. They tried to actually be serious with Jar Jar Binks. That's what's the worst part of that.
Yeah, they made him like a black reggae guy.
I don't know.
Me so sorry. You know who was so sorry after that movie?
Who?
Lucas.
Oh. He made his money. What does he care?
Yeah, well.
He had 2 more waiting and a bunch of 35-year-old guys who never get laid waiting to pay money for it. So.
Will you stop talking about John A. like
hey!
That?
Hey!
That's awful. He got laid once.
Poor guy. He's not here to defend himself. Stop it.
We got to start talking about him because we need to bring him on.
Yes, we are hoping that soon we will have John A. in the studio to talk, and maybe some of our old friends here. We know Walt's out there listening somewhere.
Yeah, we'd love to have him.
We're just going to get everyone together, line up some drinks, and just tell some stories.
Yeah, so stick around for the last part of it because that's when we get really rowdy.
That's it. We're going to start a mosh pit in Los's basement. Yes.
Wait a tie that one back in and smoke.
Shall we get out of here?
Yeah, it's time.
Get the hell out of here.
They didn't play this song.
No, they did not.
One of my favorites, too.
I'm playing it.
Yeah.
Now imagine 30 people just bouncing off of each other to the song and me throwing them to the ground.
They could have done it to this song.
Oh, they could have. Because it kicks right about now. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Reverend Smoke and Steve. He is Los. Thanks for putting up with us this long. Happy freaking New Year.
Get bruised.